My name's Mike Rowe. This is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
What's on the other side of the door?
Sewage. Raw sewage.
What's open the door?
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs. Ever feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place?
I'm going to climb underneath the 40-ton giant hunk of thing and do something with the cable.
Try a marble quarry in the side of a mountain in Colorado.
This is like a tomb.
The pressure could be enough to make you...
I'm not saying anything could possibly go wrong.
Then, to many, the owl is a symbol of wisdom. But to this man, the symbol for owls is a dollar sign. He collects and sells their vomit.
Am I looking at poo-encrusted vomit?
Those are the good ones.
And later, I roam the range at a Texas ranch. Blue skies, wide open spaces, and putting my arm where the sun don't shine and a cow to check for pregnancy. It's called palpating.
I feel something squishy. Oh, that's what I felt.
Oh, God.
Those are the Colorado Rocky Mountains. People come from all over the world just to look at them. Other people have written songs about them. But I haven't come to Marble, Colorado to sing songs or take in the magnificent views. I've come here today to go inside a great big dirty hole.
Inside this hole is the Colorado Yule Quarry, where they carve out immense slabs of flawless white marble. It's cold down here. Temperatures drop to 40 below zero in the winter. And surprisingly, it's wet, because in sub-zero weather, the water used to cool the saws is heated to just above freezing. It's also dangerous, with enormous machines moving giant blocks of stone. But fortunately, I have veteran quarryman Mike Masters to show me the ropes.
This thing weighs almost 2.5 tons?
Right.
Oh, Mike, what is... marble chemically? Calcium?
Calcium carbonate, which is fish bones.
How did that happen? This must be millions of years old.
This was an inland sea millions of years ago. And as the water dried up, it stranded all the fish in this, concentrated them in this area, and then it got covered over.
So when I see the beautiful sculptures of marble, it's basically dead fish.
Right.
Now, what am I looking at here? Is this a whole other shaft?
This area here, this is where the pillars came out of for the Lincoln Memorial. And almost directly in front of us, about 20 feet above our head, is where the original block for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier came out.
That's amazing. And these little stairs running up, that's got to be 100 years old.
No, those are actually, we put those in 1991. That's our current emergency escape way.
Mike told me that all underground quarries and mines need to have an emergency exit in case of a fire or cave-in at the main entrance.
This is where we're going, back in here, right?
Right, that's where all the work takes place.
Where the ungodly sounds are coming from.
Right.
The main chamber of the quarry is 250 feet high and about the size of a football field. This is where they cut out the largest pieces of marble.
So we're still not to where we're actually going.
No, we need to go up another 10 feet.
After you.
To produce the big blocks...
It's always another 10 feet.
They first cut out smaller blocks at the top of the cavern, creating a 10-foot workspace. That's where we're headed right now.
So, this is where the mountain begins, I guess, huh?
Right.
Basically, it's as far as you can go.
Right, this is the end. What we have here, this is our development area. In order to have production, which what we are doing down below, you got to have development working ahead of it.
So basically, you need, I mean, the first thing you need is room to work.
Right.
So you got to cut to make the room, and then you got to, drag this stuff out.
And that's what we're doing right now, is we're pulling these blocks out to give us more room to work up here. Grab that in there. We need to drag it this way.
How much does this hunk of marble weigh we're going to attempt to drag out of here?
Say between 35 and 40,000 pounds.
20 tons. So obviously, I mean, there's going to be a lot of tension in this cable.
Right.
Any concerns?
We got to worry about the cable breaking, but we're going to step off to the side of it.
All right, good. And the other end of this cable?
And we're going to hook that up to the bucket on the Traco.
Where's it go, Mike? Up here?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa, whoa. Okay, now we need to move over to the other side.
All right. That means you.
This is a 35-pound, 50-pound piece of marble.
Right.
The last block we pulled out, it shot out of the wall and landed right about here. So give you an idea why we need to get out of the way.
This used to be in a corner of the piece we're pulling out.
Right.
Lovely. Saying anything could possibly go wrong. How unusual is this?
It's not very unusual. We have that break quite a bit. These blocks are heavy, so.
This is what, galvanized steel?
Steel cable.
Just snapped like it was a piece of twine.
Like it was a rubber band. What it did, it got wedged over here in this corner. And at the time when the cable broke, it pulled away.
Yeah.
What we're going to try to do is pry this smaller rock away from the big one.
Right.
Wide enough so I can get a cable back behind it.
How are you going to get it through the middle?
Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to take the cable, put it up on top of the block. There's a hole back there in that corner. We'll climb down inside. I'll feed the cable to you. We'll wrap it around the block.
It sounded like you said, I'm going to climb underneath the 40-ton giant hunk of thing and do something with the cable.
Yes, this 40-ton giant hunk of thing is supported still by this block, so it's completely safe.
Utterly safe. What could possibly go wrong? Hard hat. You're thinking I'm going to fit down that hole, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty sure the floor is down here. Oh man, this is like a tomb. All right, I think I'm ready for the cable.
That's probably good. I'll come around the side and you can hand that to me.
Stupid job. There you go.
That's probably good enough.
All right, then I'm coming out.
Yeah.
This is what you do every day?
Yeah.
Great. All right. That's a really big rock. Why is it so much fun to watch a 30-ton rock move? So where do we stand, Mike?
Well, I think we're going to call this good for today. We accomplished our mission. We pulled that out of the wall, so we're set up for our next cuts.
Coming up, when a 200-ton slab of marble falls in a cave, does it make a sound? Then, owl vomit may be bad, but for an owl, the alternative is a lot worse.
They'd starve.
And later, how patient? It's a hands-on job, or should I say, hands-in.
Yeah.
Dragging 20-ton blocks of marble out of the wall is fun. But the real action is in the big pit, where they knock down mammoth slabs that can weigh 250 tons and more. But in order to remove the big blocks, you first have to cut them out with a diamond-edged wire saw.
What's with the hole?
We drilled it. We did a bottom cut underneath on the floor, so we got an inch and a half wide cut at the bottom.
Right.
We drilled this hole down to the cut, and what we need to do is we need to make a vertical cut here. So what we're going to do is wash this string down, go down below, hook it with a rod, pull the string through. We'll tie our diamond wire onto the string and pull our diamond wire through.
Drop her in.
I'll let you pay the string out while I wash it down.
All right.
I found they use a lot of water in a marble quarry. In fact, it's so vital that in the winter, they heat the water to a temperature of 32.1 degrees to keep it from freezing in the hoses.
I'm going down there to fish a string out of a hole with a rod. Just be a minute. Oh, jeez. So, Mike, this is the rod?
Right. Go ahead and pull that out. Okay, see that wire on the end?
This little guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
What you want to do, with a sweeping motion, try to hook your string and pull your string out through the bottom of that cut. Okay, kind of sweep it towards me.
Nothing.
Bring your rod all the way to the end of this track.
Okay. I feel good about this one. I didn't hit any resistance that time. I feel like I'm in the pocket. Disappointing.
Let's try it one more time.
Oh, I'll try it until I get it. Or until I freeze to death.
Okay.
Swept and dragged.
That's good.
Rats. Let me try my technique one more time.
Sure.
I feel pretty good about this one, but if it doesn't work out, we're going to have to come up with something new. Please be a string. Please have a string.
You got it. You got it.
Yes? We have string.
Good job.
So I'm pulling through the wire that I snagged. And he's tied off this wire, which ultimately is going to cut the marble. So the wire that I snagged underneath is now being pulled through this, and it's cutting our slab.
Right, so we got it attached to our wire saw, and the saw's pulling it around the block and making the cut.
It'll take 10 to 12 hours for the wire saw to make this cut. When it's finished, we'll have a slab 20 feet high by 20 feet wide by 5 feet thick and weighing about 170 tons.
These are water bags, basically. One or two of these has been dropped in already, right, Mike? And they're filled with water, so they've helped create space in the crevice. These are airbags, correct?
Correct.
The airbags also go into the crevice, and we're going to pump those with air and gently try and coax the marble away from the marble. This is Scott. He's tied off. I'm tied off. Mike's tied off. It's about 20 feet straight down from where we're standing. All right, what can I do?
So the key point, hold on to this rope.
Right.
We'll lower this down into the cut. We want to lower it together. We want to keep the bags pretty square.
Okay.
To transport this enormous chunk out of the cavern, they'll eventually cut it into smaller blocks, weighing no more than 48,000 pounds apiece, the federal weight limit on U.S. highways.
Should I be able to see it move?
Oh, yeah.
Watch that rock to your left.
Rock to my left. This guy. Oh, look at that. Oh! Sounds like it's close.
No.
No? Not even?
No.
So that's the sticking point right now.
It looks like it.
Is this the part where you tell me I'm going to go down there and just kind of push them apart?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. That kind of alarmed me a little bit, to be honest with you. Obviously, the air's doing the job.
Yeah.
When this thing actually goes, do you yell timber or something?
Usually we don't have time.
It goes that fast? Wow. All it wants to go. I think I see it moving.
But looks can be deceiving. It was going to take more than some air pillows to move this hunk of rock.
That's a big piece of marble.
This is the first thing the guy does his first day of work here. Climbs those stairs just to sit up so we can see if he'll make it or not.
Well, that's that's poetic in a way, because this is the last thing this guy's going to do on his last day here.
Well, I learned a lot about marble today. It's very, very heavy. It's very, very hard. And even though it's very, very white, breaking it into small pieces is a very, very dirty job.
It's the last 2,000 feet. You're a killer.
This is kind of interesting.
Coming up,
it's like a little covered candy.
I find that owl vomit is like a box of chocolates.
Every now and then there's a disappointing center. Only it's disappointing on the outside and the inside.
And later.
Good Lord, man. Is this at all uncomfortable for the cow?
To some degree it is.
To some degree. About the degree of your arm. Don Ciccoletti spends his days riding his electric bicycle up and down country roads looking for treasure. Today, Don has asked me to meet him here at a place called Bethel Island in front of an old barn where the two of us are going to pick up owl barf. I'm thinking Don Ciccoletti has a dirty job. Well, if ever there were a likely place to find some owls and their barf, I suppose the silo in the barn behind us would be it. I mean, you told me before you're basically hunting for treasure, so this is your...
treasure map.
Your treasure map. Why are we looking for owl vomit?
Well, it's for a school project. I collect them and get them all set up, and then anywhere from elementary school on up to college, they'll take the pellet apart. The owl swallows his food whole. Stomach fluids digest the meat. About 12 hours later, they throw up a pellet of hair and bones.
The stuff that their bodies can't digest.
Right. It's on the wetlands, and nobody's allowed out here, except for us.
Good. Well, white stuff is their poo. This black stuff...
that's vomit. And you can see the teeth sticking right out.
No kidding.
Pull his head out and see.
What do you mean, pull his head out?
Grab his teeth there and pretend you're a dentist. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Bones everywhere.
And ants all through this thing. You can see his little teeth in there.
And I can tell that the moths have been in there, too. That's why it's loose and crumbly.
Looking for owl puke. Looking for owls, too. You know they're in here somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. Because you can't hear them fly.
Is that right?
Silent flyers.
How do they manage to be so stealthy in their flight?
Well, their flight feathers on their wings are serrated, like a serrated knife edge.
Yeah.
If you look on the edge real close, you'll see that it's not a straight line.
Oh, yeah. They're scalloped almost. Do any other birds?
Hawks.
They vomit like this?
Yep. If they didn't regurgitate, they'd die.
The hawk would die?
Yeah.
What about the owl?
Sure.
Without puking, they'd just... What happened? I guess they'd just blow up.
Yeah, they wouldn't have any room in their stomach for any food. They'd starve.
Is there a technical name for the owl vomit? I mean, it seems like it should be called something.
It is. It is pretty technical. They call them owl pellets.
That's it.
That's it.
Walk me through what likely happened here. This gopher was just hanging out being a gopher.
They don't even need any light to catch their prey. They can catch them just with their ears. One ear is up and forward, and the other ear is down and back. And it's kind of like a bat with their echolocation as they're coming in. Matter of fact, when the owl hits that mouse, his wings go back and his eyes are closed about this high off the ground before it actually hits it. It protects his eyes from the bushes that it might be going into.
So the owl hears the mouse rustling. Or the gopher rustling, cocks his head, spins it around in that Linda Blair way they do, and then just comes swooping in,
talons out, eyes shut, ears all jacked up, and the mouse never knows what hit it.
Right.
Picking up owl vomit. It's a dirty job.
In elementary school, they just take it apart to see the oddity of it all. By the time it gets up to college, they gotta take all the bones out and articulate them and identify what was in there.
Oh, so it's sort of like a crime scene. I mean, it's like a CSI thing. You're going backwards. The evidence in this case is vomit, and we're telling a story by going backwards through the lower GI tract of an owl.
Our next owl vomit collection site was a former dairy barn next door.
You can really see the blood in the poo in that pile.
Environmentally, I mean, I know owls must be important. Specifically, what's their contribution?
Well, getting all these vermin is the main thing. The farmers love them. They put up owl boxes so that the owls will live on their farm. It ruins their irrigation, for one thing.
All the holes. The burrowing.
Yeah.
Right? Am I looking at poo-encrusted vomit?
That's exactly what it is. Those are the good ones.
It's like those chocolates you get in the box, you know, and every now and then there's a disappointing center. Only it's disappointing on the outside and the inside.
Next to the dairy was an old grain bin. The only thing it holds now is owls and their vomit.
I see vomit. I see poo. There's a dead owl in here.
Very likely from the West Nile virus.
Careful.
Now you're tough. Now it's easy. What's that metal on your butt?
Thank you. Okay. Look at all that.
Yeah, that's a jackpot there.
Yeah, this is a lucky day. Some of it's very light, some of it's very dense.
You're starting to get excited about those things.
This is kind of a tragedy here, isn't it? You reckon the West Nile got him?
Probably. They just don't fall off their perch and drop for nothing.
Although most birds can be infected with West Nile, crows, blue jays, magpies, hawks, eagles, and owls are most likely to die from it. I wanted to know more about the owl's ears, so Don came down to show me. These white owls are called barn owls, and they wouldn't come near us, so I got to examine a dead one.
There's an ear hole, let's say right at the corner where his beak would come in.
Right, I see it.
And on this side, it's way down there.
Ah, so that's the thing that allows him to target it and echolocate.
Yeah. Oh, you just about got it.
A good treasure hunter goes where the treasure is. But I learned that just getting to the treasure can be an adventure.
You need a push?
No, don't push me. I'm liable to tear something loose.
I think he's stuck.
I'm jacked up pretty good.
Yeah, you are. You're stuck.
It's my midsection.
Yeah, I can tell.
I got... Which is unfortunate because I have big plans for my midsection later.
Great big exhale. And then... Now you got to just drop down.
I'm in.
And when the treasure is owl vomit, you sometimes also find an owl.
Look at this thing. God.
They won't hurt you.
No, it won't hurt me, but who's going to clean up my underpants?
Coming up, a behind-the-scenes look at the high-tech world of owl vomit processing.
Does this represent the state-of-the-art delivery system you've been able to devise
thus far? No, you'll probably come up with something better.
You think?
And later, I learn the ins and outs of work on the farm.
Good.
Once our buckets were full of pellets, it was time to head to the processing plant.
It's a nice ride.
Yeah, it's pretty comfy.
And this is a lovely pad.
The processing plant is convenient to Don's home. In fact, it's his back porch.
Spread them out so they're not too many on top of each other.
A nice even distribution without a lot of...
So that the liquid will be able to get on each one.
In this spray container is a mixture of water and cornstarch that will be sprayed on the pellets. When it dries, it acts as a binder so the pellets remain intact during shipping.
And control the spray.
Well,
I was with you right up to the point about the control.
Try to get it on the pellets. There you go.
Like this?
Yo, oh, man, you catch on
okay.
fast.
It seems like I'm wasting a lot of your proprietary cornstarch and water formula. Am I over-soaking?
No, you need a lot more.
Does this represent the state-of-the-art delivery system you've been able to devise
no,
thus far?
No, you probably come up with something better.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, I was doing it exactly right, wasn't I?
Well, I think you're trying too hard.
That's probably it. My eagerness to please is often my downfall. So you want these soaking wet?
Because when they get rained on, they're soaking wet. And when the rain goes away, they're actually harder than and easier to get than in the summertime. I think it's just about gone. It's empty. It's done.
It'll take 3 days for the pellets to dry completely. The factory employs a state-of-the-art drying system that uses a fan and a space heater beneath the sorting table. Don had another load of pellets that were dry and ready for the final step, wrapping in foil.
Take one about like that. Corner to corner like a butcher would do.
Uh-huh.
Or over a couple times. Fold it over. Fold it over. And there's your product.
Give a little twist on the end.
Then they'll know it's from you.
So, if I'm a sixth grader and my teacher has ordered some of your vomit, basically it shows up, all wrapped up, nice and neat as can be, and I unwrap it and I start to pull the owl vomit open and all of the goodies in there. It's very exciting. You got a skull there, you got teeth.
That's a mouse.
That's a mouse head. There's fur. That's mouse fur. More little mouse bones. So basically, this is what's left of a mouse.
And there's his back leg.
Yeah.
And this is ulna, I believe.
Ulna, that's the arm, right?
Yeah, it goes with that guy. See how they fit.
So the college students basically take these hunks of vomit and they reconstruct the entire... I mean, you could have an entire
animal
in there.
I saw that owl pellets are a lot like candy or cereal. There's a surprise in every package.
From the barnyard to the backyard to the schoolyard near you. The journey of owl vomit. Look what I found on the Dirty Jobs website. Hi, Mike. My name's Steve. I'm a cowboy down here at the Circle X Ranch in Bryan, Texas. We have 3,500 head of cattle down here, and once a year we need to figure out which ones are pregnant and when they're due. This process is called palpating and requires us to reach inside the cow through the rectum and feel how big the fetus is through the wall of the uterus. As jobs go, this one is pretty dirty. What do you say? Are you up for it? Well, Steve... Yippee-ki-yay. This is Steve, and you are,
I'm the cattle manager.
You're a cowboy is what you are.
Yes.
But you're...
Mechanized cowboy.
A mechanized cowboy. The basic goal with this palpation is to determine how far along a cow is in its pregnancy?
You want to know if they're pregnant to begin with. And if they're not pregnant, that gives you a reason to call the cow because she's not producing or making any money for you.
Do I look like a cowboy?
You, right now you do. You're going to look even more like it in a little bit.
Because I tell you, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, it's the best way to learn.
I'd expect it to be riding a horse. Turns out a modern cowboy's saddle is made of vinyl. And the ride has handlebars instead of reins. But at least I got to wear the right hat. Palpation has to be done in a controlled setting. This meant herding the cows through a progressively narrowing series of pens towards the barn. In the final stage, the pens are so narrow we had to lose the ATVs and, like the cows, hoof it the rest of the way.
This is what we call the tub. This thing will just fold in like this and push it in like that, and they can't push it open.
So at this point, it's one at a time.
Well, we'll get several loaded in here. But from that point on right there, but as they go in the chute, it'll be one at a time.
Coming up, when you palpate, you have to know exactly what you're feeling for.
60 days old, it's going to be a ball of fluid. 4 months, they'll start going over the pelvis.
So if it bites me, we know we're pretty much right, ready to go.
And where to feel for it.
Oh, dear. I may have gone in the wrong hole. Nothing to see here. Move along. Mission sort of accomplished?
Sort of accomplished. We're about half through. Now, what we're going to do is we'll let one cow into the squeeze chute.
This is a squeeze chute. Look at that.
And, whichever arm you prefer, there's a wall between the rectum and the uterus, and you can go in there, the wall is real flexible.
Okay.
That's why you want to have no fingernails.
None. No, and,
because you don't want to scratch anything on the inside.
No. This will cure me of my nail-biting habit once and for all, I'm sure.
Yes, it will.
And the uterus will be under here.
Yes.
And if it has a calf in it, it'll feel like something.
Well, if it's about 60 days old, it's going to be a ball of fluid. 4 months, they start going over the pelvis and going down into the stomach where they're carried most of the, down in the lower part of the belly. And then once they get ready to calve, they start coming back up into the calving canal and then giving birth.
So if it bites me, we know we're pretty much right, ready to go.
You got that right. This one lever here works the head gate.
Yeah.
This lever here works the squeeze in.
Uh-huh.
And this works the tailgate. Opens it up and lets the cow in.
This is all cow here?
Yes, sir.
Good. Great. Okay. Let's palpate.
Okay.
Romantic thoughts of cowboys in the Old West aside, cattle ranching is about making money. To be profitable, a cow must have at least one calf every year, which is why palpating is a crucial task.
What I do is I kind of just take this in my hand, kind of go like this.
Yeah.
Rub it over there, and then I kind of cut my hand like this and go in like that. And then you go in there.
Good Lord, man.
And then you just kind of start sweeping from side to side looking for the fetus.
No, it's got to be underneath your hand,
right? It's underneath, yes.
All right. Is this at all uncomfortable for the cow?
Well, to some degree it is.
To some degree?
Yes.
About the degree of your arm.
Yes. You go in there and tell me what you see, what you find.
All right. Dear.
And then just kind of make it a little cone like this.
Making a cone and going in.
Going in.
The goal is to palpate without frightening the cow or damaging her organs.
You got to push a little.
You got to push pretty hard.
All right.
The rectal walls are very strong, and injuries to cows from palpating are rare. Contractions and tightening of the rectum, however, are normal.
I'm going from left to right and pushing in.
What you should be able to find is when you go in there, you'll find her reproductive tract is right. Should be right below your hand.
Okay. No. Actually, I feel like I'm in a ring. I just went through another.
All right. You got to go through the rectal rings.
All right.
Once you get through all those, then you ought to be able to pan around and find the reproductive tract. It's going to go about that long, and then it's going to kind of split off, and you're going to have one horn this way, one horn this way.
Horns?
Yeah. Well, it's a uterine horn.
Oh. Okay.
And then each uterine horn, there'll be an ovary.
It's almost as though the cow doesn't like my arm inside her rectum.
They do squeeze an awful lot.
Okay, I feel something that feels different than everything else around.
Right, and that should be the reproductive tract.
All right.
And this particular cow is not pregnant.
So this was like a surprise.
Normally, when I notice my arm is coated with feces and blood, I take a pause. But when I'm palpating cows, well, that's just a natural part of the process.
Good. This is an unpregnant cow.
Right.
Is there a better word than unpregnant?
Open.
Open.
Do it.
Sure.
The earliest a fetus can be detected by palpating is 45 days, at which point it's about an inch and a half long. At 3 months, it'll be 6 inches. At 5 months, it'll be a foot to a foot and a half. And at 7 months, it can vary from 2 to almost 3 feet in length.
What's the term?
Gestation is 9 months, and their heat cycle is 18 to 21 days. A cow and a woman are a lot alike.
You're talking from an anatomical standpoint.
I mean, their gestation is the same.
Right.
The heat cycle is the same.
Man, I don't know what the heck I'm feeling here. I feel the horns of the uterus. I feel something squishy. I feel... Oh, that's what I felt.
You just go right in there with all the nonchalance.
Well, you've already opened it up for me.
So I'm guessing that this one's not pregnant. This is my official guess, but I don't.
You're right. She's not bred.
She's not bred?
She's open.
No, it's neat the way the poo gets on the end of their tail and then comes around and... Exactly.
Coming up...
We semen test all our bulls before we turn them out with cows.
I get the inside story on number 99.
I believe he may enjoy this.
But this time, I'm not using my arm.
It looks like a spaceship.
That's what it's going to feel like, that bull. See, as you're putting your hand inside, they clamp down on them rings trying to keep you from getting inside.
Yes, I'm noticing that.
And then as you... If you stay in there, they kind of release, you know, relax, right, and let you go on in.
I can't move my hand, so I either have to
either
back up.
Back up or try to go a little further forward. Okay, now this cow is probably about 6 months bred.
Yeah.
The reason you can't find anything, it's way over her pelvis.
Oh, I didn't go in far enough?
Right, well, right now I've got the uterine artery in between my fingers. It's about the size of my finger.
Uh-huh.
And it's pulsating, feeding that baby.
Got it.
See how it's pulsating?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's got that baby way over into the pelvic area.
Uh-huh.
Way down deep.
I'm going to say 5 months.
Okay. I'd say she's about right. About five.
About five?
Yeah.
When you come around the side of that, especially on the right, that's where I feel the... I feel like I can feel the features of the fetus.
Right. Palpating your cows and your herd, you learn who's pregnant and who has a breed that they have a... proficiency of breeding back fast.
Right.
And I've had cows calve in January and get bred back and calve again in December the same year.
What we're learning here is making the herd more efficient.
More efficient, more productive.
Which means, ultimately, somewhere down the line, hamburgers cheaper?
Hopefully it doesn't get any cheaper, but...
but reasonable.
Reasonable, there'll be more supply available. It's kind of a messy job, but...
You think?
Yeah, you're pretty clean for palpating cows.
She's real pregnant.
Yeah.
I feel ears, I feel a little head. I'm going to say four and a half months.
4.5 to 5.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you can really distinctly feel the different pieces of the aspects of the calf.
Now, I felt the face right
yes.
on that one, right?
Yes.
So I'm not imagining. I felt ears, I feel a... Yes. Through the nose, jaw. Hold steady. Hold on a second.
You gonna do it?
Oh, dear. I may have gone in the wrong hole.
You did go in the wrong hole.
Is everything gonna be all right?
It should be all right. Has a clean glove, thank goodness.
This is, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, where's all the poo? Well, there's no poo in the vulva. Oh, no wonder she was so upset with me.
Go back in there.
What, is there a surprise?
Yeah.
Good grief, she's about to have a baby.
Well, she's probably about 7 months.
Movement, too.
Yeah.
Nibbling.
Yeah.
Little calf nibbling me. I'm going to need my arm back.
He's a very nice bull. He's been in the pasture with about 80 heifers.
Well, he must be exhausted.
He did a good job. We palpated him, and he bred about 40 of them.
Heifers?
Yes.
Look at him. Oh, yeah, he knows where he's going.
Come on, sweetie.
I believe he may enjoy this. What in the world is this?
This is an electroejac. It's a 4. It's an electroejaculator that we're going to use to collect the semen on this bull.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like you said an electrojac?
An electroejaculator, yes. It's going to stimulate the bull to make him...
I get it. Hey, but this is a serious device?
Yes, it is. That's Big Daddy.
What the hell? It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, that's what it's going to feel like, that bull.
Oh, dear. It's like a tackle box.
That's
from...
That's what it is.
Very. It's like a tackle box from Amsterdam.
These can be manually stimulation, or you can set it on an automatic stimulation.
Well, what does number 99 here prefer?
Where's it? We're probably going to give him the manual.
We're going to give him a little manual.
Yes. We semen test all of our bulls before we turn them out with cows.
All right.
Because we want to make damn sure when they go out with cows that they're fertile. And just like everything else on the ranch, they got to pay for themselves.
Sure. Well, this is kind of a reward maybe for a job well done. physiologically, are we stimulating the prostate?
Yes. And when you ejaculate, you'll take a little bit of that sperm and catch it on the slide and look at it through a microscope and see if it's good or bad. And if it's good, he's good to go for a year.
Right.
It's great. Oops.
Bulls are no different from cows in that to earn their keep, they too must produce calves. So semen is collected to check for the presence of sperm and to see that the bull is in good health and functioning properly.
Sure.
So to speak.
Yep. Just go right on in.
Doesn't look like he dislikes it.
No. You're in there good.
God. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
All right, now just drop that tail over. Just drop it down. Then, Matt, you get back here and make sure it stays in.
All right.
There you go.
How often is the current pulsing?
It's about every 2 or 3 seconds.
The semen sample looked good, but Steve also wanted to visually confirm that the bull's equipment was healthy and in working order.
On this machine, we can do it automatically where it's set at a certain time, or we can turn it over to manual, and then we just move this dial back and forth.
Oh, when you say manually,
right here,
you mean from there?
From here, yes. Thank God, huh?
There was a serious miscommunication between us there, Steve.
He does seem to be bypassing the erection part and going straight for the...
He's dropping semen.
Yeah.
This thing may not be charged up enough to do the job.
In spite of the electricity and everything else, he looks camera shy to me.
He's not giving us an erection today, but the semen sample we did get from him looked good. And he has been with cows, and he did do a good job breeding cows, so...
We got the sperm, but not the erection.
Got the sperm, but not the erection.
Ultimately disappointing. I guess we can remove the probe.
Yes, sir. We'll take that out.
Don't worry about it, 99. It happens to the best of us. Look, if you have a dirty job or know somebody who does, we want to know about it. Go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and tell us all about it. If it's dirty enough, I'll come out and we'll get dirty together. Sound like fun?
I have gone through the bottom of a barn before.
Really? What was that like? That must have been exciting.
Yeah, it was. Luckily, I didn't get hurt.
Well... Did you take a blow to the head by any chance?
I could have, maybe.